Brought to you by Big Comedy Network.
Pillow fight.
Is yours made of goose?
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight!
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Kylie Brakeman, a Los Angeles-based comedian who you might know from her viral character videos. She was recently named to Wesley Morris and A.O. Scott's Great Performers issue for the New York Times and has written and performed at UCB, the Pack Theater, and Comedy Sports LA. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram at Deadeye Brakeman. On this episode of Pillow Fight, we talk Meghan and Harry, blue check liberals, and how to shoot your shot in the DMs.
Mary? Kill. Fuck, Mary, kill.
To start, the fuck, Mary, kill options. The first one is Meghan and Harry spill the tea on Oprah. So as we're recording this, this happened last night. So it's like all that anyone's talking about right now. But, Oprah sat down with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry for like an in-depth interview on why they left the royal life. And I saw a tweet that was like, this is the second time that Americans are spilling tea to dunk on the British.
I love it.
But she opened up about a lot of things, like that she had like suicidal thoughts while she was there. She didn't get a security detail. Like they were being racist about her, like unborn baby and all this other stuff. And Harry said like he was really committed to not letting what happened with his mother happen to Meghan. And Oprah, you know, was really pushing for all the information, even though they didn't give it all. Number two, The Queen's Gambit, which is a Netflix hit miniseries, is currently being adapted as a stage musical. That's all. That's all for that headline. Number three, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, recently got remarried to a science teacher, and they both signed on to the Giving Pledge. So they like committed to donate most of their fortune to philanthropic efforts. Jeff Bezos, for reference, has not signed on to the pledge. So fuck, marry, kill, Meghan and Harry on Oprah, Queen's Gambit musical, and Mackenzie Scott marrying a science teacher. What would you do?
Okay. So I was very enwrapped by the Oprah interview last night. It was so shocking. It was so dramatic. And like not that shocking because we know the royal family is bad. We know that what they're up to, but like it was so crazy to hear it like out loud. Like nobody ever says that stuff. I feel like I can't marry it because the subject matter is so dark, but as an event, I would like to fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mackenzie Bezos, I still don't trust. I might have to kill it. I don't know. I just wish she would pay her taxes instead. great that they're doing that, but would be better if we had healthcare. I understand that's not her fault specifically, but I just don't know. I'm a little skeptical of it. I'm gonna marry the Queen's Gambit musical. I've only seen two episodes, but of it, I'm like, oh, this would be great. The chess dancing on the thing. Oh my God, amazing.
I'm trying to imagine like what that would look. I think like people would dress up as chessboard pieces and like
dance
on the thing. They already have a musical about chess. It's called Chess and it's like set in the Cold War.
Really?
So I'm kind of intrigued to see what would happen here.
Yeah.
I would kill that just because I'm tired of people just not having original ideas and just turning everything into like 10 types of things. And just,
there are only 10 ideas and we just have to keep making them over and over and over again. And those are the rules.
In the summer of 2019, I was interning at a production company and it was just wild to me. Like every script I would read, it would be like described as like the new take on X, like Men in Black, but it's women. Like it's just, everything is like an like amended version of like some existing story.
Men in Black, but women is so funny because we already did Lady Ghostbusters and like, let's let the ladies do something else. Let's let the ladies do their own thing.
You know, it's International Women's Day when we're recording this.
Oh, well, so. happy Women's Day to you.
I know, to you too. But yeah, I think I would kill the Queen's Gambit musical just because, I don't know, something about it is not.
I get that. I fully get that. It's unnecessary. I just know that Lin-Manuel Miranda saw that show and was like, I gotta get my hands on those chess pieces. They're gonna dance.
You know he's like writing a 2020 musical right now with like there's a Trump getting COVID song and
there's
like a, you know, the first big cases of COVID, like the shutdown. There's like Dr. Fauci has like a song.
He's definitely rapping about Covfefe. Like we can... Yeah. We know it's going to happen.
And I'm really scared for what's going to happen when he releases that. Cause I know he's working on something right now that is like very frightening.
He is up to no good. He is up to something sinister with all this, with all the turmoil in the world. I think that we could get like better art about Trump in like 20 years,
but yeah,
not do anything right now.
Not right now. I don't want it like COVID and Trump. And so I'm tired. Like we just, when I'm like an adult and hopefully if things are better in the world and like, you know, like I could show my kids something about Trump and be like, oh, like, yeah, I lived through that shit storm. I don't want, it's too fresh on everyone's minds right now, I think.
No, he's such a cartoon character. I like don't want to think about him.
Today, I think all of his Supreme Court resolutions that he was like challenging the election were all thrown out today. And like he was officially
not the president. Awesome.
Finally, here we are, March 8th.
And Joe Biden is the president. Wow.
Which I honestly kind of forget that he's the president now because nothing has changed.
No, if any, he sort of did some bad stuff already.
Just new things are bad.
Yeah.
It's not like any of the old bad stuff.
No, he's doing like new, different bad things than before. But we have like dogs in the White House again, I guess. Like, you know, hearts on the lawn. I don't know. I'm like so exhausted from the past year that I don't have the mental capacity to like process it.
Seeing what Jill Biden did with the White House front lawn though made me think that she's more capable of being president than he is.
I think she is running the show.
She clearly has like a vision and a plan and is able to execute it. And I don't think that he knows what he's doing really. He's just kind of like listening to people tell him what to do.
I think his brain is mashed potatoes, but I think she is fully cognitively there.
Did you see that he made a fan cam of himself and posted it on Twitter?
Yeah, where he's just like every day they post a little video of them walking to get something done with a mask on. And I'm like, guys, you're actively doing nothing or impeding things that are happening.
They're like spending all of their time and money, like doing like a social media campaign for Joe Biden instead of like giving people stimulus checks.
And people fall for it. They're like, yes, blue wave, that's my president. And I'm like, no.
Like those people are the reason that like, I feel like I can't make jokes anymore. Like when I tweeted that thing a few weeks ago, that was like, you know, bisexuality is like being attracted to them. And it's like the picture of Joe and Kamala. I was like,
I remember I was joking.
And I was like really upset about it. And then I thought about it for a while. And I was like, there are actually people who would say that seriously and mean it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're not that uncommon. Yeah. No,
they're like out there. They're out there defending Kirsten Sinema and being like, she's a woman and bisexual. Like, don't make fun of her skirt. And it's like, I can make fun of her skirt. It's dumb.
I feel like Kirsten Sinema was really many steps back for like quirky bisexuals with a bold sense of fashion and not, you know, identify with that. And I feel like it was a few steps backwards. And I'm still recovering from like the way that Kamala Harris's bad criminal justice track record, like what it did for, you know, hot South Asian women.
Yeah.
It's, you know, representation. The jury's still out on if I think it's good. Because
we're still figuring that out, if it's better or worse, we don't know.
Because if I just get me mad at white people instead of people who like straight white cis men, if I can just be mad at them,
that's so much easier. It's like a clear thing.
Yeah, we have a common enemy. But if the enemies are like me, no, that makes it a little more complicated. Like I have to vouch for the like them and what they're doing. I remember also like when Kamala was when they won, like a lot of Indian people were making jokes like, ha ha, like, you know, Kamala auntie, like we're gonna have like Indian food in the White House. And then like liberals, like those like blue check, like neoliberal, that the same people who are like, yay, blue wave, like who would earnestly tweet that tweet that I tweeted,
yeah,
are like made like beautiful graphics of like her in a sari and like being like, Kamala Anti welcomes you to the White House. Like white people were fully posting this.
I was gonna say, is it white people making these? Because oh my God, it just allows those weird like Gen X people on Twitter to like weaponize it and be like, are you questioning a woman of color who is the vice president? Are you questioning her judgment? And it's like, oh my God, oh no.
That's like when women were mad about the Bernie Sanders meme, because they were like, he's just like a sad man. Like, why are we making him so? I'm like, if this is oppression to you, like, I wish I could live in your mind, because like, that sounds nice.
Where Bernie reminds you of your abusive father just because he talks in a low voice, like,
and like had a grumpy face at one like social gathering.
He was just cold. He was just cold. He's like 80. Let him be cold.
I like logged on Facebook for like 5 minutes, like around that time. And I saw like this woman who I like was in like a community theater production with once. And she was like, I'm so sick and fucking tired of this Bernie meme. Like, stop sharing it. If you're sharing it, I'm going to block you. And I was like, this is really like, where was this energy for like the Nazis posting like a couple weeks before? Like,
it's so extreme. No, the most hate I get online for any video that is like rather abstract, like any of the blue check liberals stuff where I'm just like, this, like, women with feminist in their bio come after me so hard. And they're like, why aren't you making fun of men? And I'm like, I'm simply a woman. It's just simply easier. And I never specified that this was a woman. I just physically am a cisgender woman and I present as such and I am talking as such. Like, there's nothing, this is not some nefarious thing.
Ladies, is being a woman and telling jokes anti-feminist? I think it is, because you're inherently making fun of the existence of being a woman, and that is therefore bad.
We've gone full circle. Women aren't allowed to do comedy.
It's anti-feminist for women to do comedy.
We've figured it out.
Uh-huh. Like, also, it's like, when I make fun of men, people are like, you misandrist. And if I make fun of a woman, they're like, you self-hater. It's like, okay, I should just make fun of like animals, and then I'll be called to like, PETA will come in.
And then PETA will go after you. Yeah. You're a speciesist. Which is a phrase that they're throwing around a lot, which I love.
I think that PETA, this is my conspiracy theory, I think that PETA was created by Big Meat to make vegans and vegetarians look worse.
Oh my God, it's like, what is that called? A psyop? No, a fucking, a false flag. I don't know what it's called, but there's some conspiracy term for it. But that makes a lot of sense, because they're making it just so uncool that it's like, ugh, I'll never be that.
Every single like vegan or vegetarian person that I know like despises PETA and thinks they're like really bad, because they're not actually convincing people to be vegan. They're like making people hate vegans.
Yeah.
And like most vegan people, like their objective is to like help other people like cut down on, you know, on in like sort of like in a proselytizing, like being a vegan missionary sort of way. Their goal isn't to like shame other people for eating meat. It's like to help people eat less. And PETA's doing the opposite.
I feel like if they were just chill and they were like, here's some recipes for some salads, we'd all be on board.
Yeah.
But they don't do that.
Instead, they're yelling at us for saying killing two birds with one stone. And that's...
Have you seen those charts that are like the microaggressions against animals, or like the slurs that are against animals, where it's like, you can't... It's what you said, kill two birds with one stone. It's so funny.
I'm forgetting the other ones, but there were so many. They were like, replace this with that. It was like, feed two birds with one scone.
Yeah. I'm not giving a bird my scone. It doesn't work.
That's too expensive to give to a bird.
No,
you know?
A scone is like $4.50.
A scone is like a treat. I'll give a bird like the crust of my bread.
If I drop some Cheez-Its, I'll kick it next to them. That's what the birds are gonna get from me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I would kill the Queen's Gambit musical. Right. I think I would fuck the Meghan and Harry Oprah situation too, because I think like there's a lot that I enjoyed about the way they stood up for themselves, but also it left a lot to be desired. Like, I wanted to know who said what. I wanted them to like really, really like out some people. And I wanted, you know, I think Oprah was trying her hardest to like get them to, but they were just, they were being way better to these people than they were to them.
I mean, it seems like such a thing that was so unbelievably coordinated. Like you can tell they ran these answers for months, and like she would stop short strategically of saying, because I'm Black, so that Oprah could say it for her. Like it is like a masterful performance in like being coy, but like getting the viewers to like think the actual thoughts for her and just see like, but she's not saying any of them. She's just coming across as this sympathetic figure. It's really just, it was so well done. And maybe we'll get those names. I don't know.
Nothing that she said was like actually damning anyone. Yeah. It was just like, you know, sharing her own experience. I think also they're really protecting the queen. Like they slandered, they like kind of said everyone else is a piece of shit, but they didn't say the queen was. And like, there's no way that she's like the only good.
I feel like she's maybe like, she's 95. I don't know how much influence she actually has. I really don't know how it works. I watched The Crown. Seems like there are some other people making decisions. I wonder if they also kind of fear for their lives. Like if they drop William's name, because it's William. Like, I feel like it's William. I don't know. Like, they could come after him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's William too. I really feel like it's William. I think also, like, William and Harry are really interesting to me because they're both Diana's sons, but like, Harry is like really cognizant of his mother's experience and like never wants his wife to go through that. And William is like just like a dick. Who
did you watch The Crown?
I didn't, but I want to watch a season with like this. I want to watch the Meghan and Harry season.
I know. I want this business. The Diana season is very interesting, but in like season one, like when they're talking, Elizabeth goes to the throne, and this is like 1950 or something. Her sister, who I believe is Margaret or Anne, I think Princess Margaret, whoever is played by Helena Bonham Carter in a later season, she's the one who rebels. Like she wants to be queen so bad, but she has like a personality. Like she has other things going on in her life. But Elizabeth was always very by the book, very boring, just like, I am going to do what the crown is telling me to do. And that is what I think William and Harry, I think William had this little bug in his brain that's like, I'm the heir to the throne, the Christian god's blood courses through my veins. And so I have to like stay the course. And staying the course, of course, means being very racist and horrible and like not sticking up for anybody. And Harry got to like go to Vegas and do drugs and like hang out and have a personal life. And so maybe he's a little bit more with it.
I also think that the part in the interview where she was talking about how Kate made her cry, I'm very, I'm interested around that because she's like, I've forgiven her. It's great. It's all fine. Like we're fine. She said, sorry. But then she kept mentioning again, it's like when you like want someone, you want to tell someone that like you're upset with someone, but you don't want to outright say it. Because like they're friends with that person or something. And so you're just like, yeah, like she did this. Like, I'm totally fine with that. But it's like, you know,
I love being the bigger person, but also outing them at the same time. Mm-hmm. She did it very carefully. It was again, very like put together, very, very coached, very incredible performance. And she's an actor. And so it makes sense.
She also like must really love Harry to be like sticking through that when she was like a successful American actress and like had, you know what I mean? Like I think they like really love each other. So, I mean,
I think they do. I think that's like, and that's also not really something based on just documentary. I don't know. I'm not in the palace, but it seems like nobody actually loves each other that much. And they, whenever somebody loves somebody, that's when everything
goes wrong,
goes awry. And if love and horniness is what tackles the British monarchy, then so be it.
Horniness will tackle the monarchy.
It's true. It could only sustain itself for so long.
I think horniness is an act of revolution. Like I saw a tweet that was like, it's anti-capitalist. Like it doesn't work from 9 to 5. Like it doesn't know your hours. It like comes up whenever, like it's unencumbered by anything, you know?
It's a freeing force. I also saw this tweet that I love how everything we say is just, I saw this tweet because it's, we're just online 24/7. But that was like, all art is either created because of horniness or revenge. And I think that is so true.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, at least the gripping art.
Yeah, yeah, the art that means something. You have to have, like, mm-hmm. some little thing in you that's like, I'm making this to spite this person. I only started doing improv or performing because it was like, there was a boy in my class who annoyed me and I wanted to be better. Like, I would never have done it if I didn't have this thing in my body that was like, I can do it better. I never did that much stand-up. I don't know. Before I did, like, UCB and all that stuff, like, I went to a few open mics, and the only thing that kept me coming back a little bit was like seeing other people just not know how to do it at all.
Yeah, I did stand up for the first time a little over a year ago, and I had been wanting to for a long time. Like, I'd done improv and sketch and stuff, but I'd been wanting to, but I was really scared. And then I saw a stand-up show at the Laugh Factory in LA. So Joel McHale was hosting it, but it was, and I like Joel McHale fine, but Joel McHale was hosting it. And the show was, okay, my boss had given me 2 tickets, and she was like, I got these tickets, but I have to work late. Like, you take a friend and you go. So we went, and it was the whole show, like the premise of the show was that it was the 100-year anniversary of Hostess Snacks. And every comedian there had to give a roast of Hostess, but it couldn't be like too mean. And there was a person in a Twinkie costume sitting on stage, and they called that mascot Twinkie the Kid. And everyone was roasting Hostess in this stand-up set, but they were just like kind of working a joke about Hostess into like the already, like the 10 minutes they had already. Right. And it was just so much of it was so uncomfortable to me that I was like, these people, like, there's people paying lots of money to be at the show, and like, that's what's going on. Like, I feel like I can do that. And they picked a winner of the roast based on the mascot's choice.
Based on the Twinkies choice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, I'm going to recap my fuck, marry, kill thing because I feel like I wasn't clear.
Amazing. I don't remember.
Megan and Harry, I think they really love each other, but I think it's too complicated, and I can't get involved for the long term in that situation. I would just
Yeah, that's hard.
The Mackenzie Scott and her new husband thing, I think I would marry it because it would be good for me. Like, being married to a billionaire couple situation would be good for me. And also, all billionaires are bad, but like, I think that they're
better billionaires.
Like, I'm rooting for her just because I hate Jeff Bezos.
That is true. I didn't think about how much I hate Jeff Bezos in this situation, but that is a very valid point.
I don't know. I feel like they seem happy, and it's probably like a nice life. So I'd marry it.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the enemy of Jeff Bezos, I mean, maybe they're amicable. I don't know, but
I think they are amicable, but I think like for show, you know how like celebrities are always like, yeah, like we'll remain friends in their statements when they break up.
Yeah. Publicly.
We know you're not friends.
I feel like if you have a ton of money, there's no way your divorce can be that amicable. Like, I feel like the stakes are so high, and like, you're so rich, and like, things are just so much more heightened that it's gotta be a production every time.
Yeah. Like, this Kim and Kanye divorce, like, oh, it's going to be like a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also wonder about that. I feel very conspiratorial about their marriage. I'm like, I don't know if it was ever real. I don't know. I think they had some sort of contract, and Kanye was not fulfilling his end of the contract because he simply went off the deep end. I don't know.
I actually like thought Kanye and Kim were like so great together for a while, for like a moment in time. I was like, I don't know. I just thought they were like a power couple for a while. And then Kim Kardashian is one of those people who I know is like really bad, but I have a soft spot for her for some reason. I don't know what it is. I just think like,
You're helping getting people pardoned.
Yeah. That's she's doing like some, I think she has like things that she's passionate about. She just like really has been like famous her whole life and doesn't know like what it's like to be a normal person. And I think that's just kind of how it is to be that famous. But I feel like I'm always like, oh, Kim, like, I don't know. I feel like she's a good mom. I feel like she's like nice.
I feel like the era, and we can see how society has changed by the things that we make fun of the Kardashians for. Like, okay, this is my TED Talk. In 2010 era, we were, or maybe, I don't know when it came out, 2008, 2010. We were making fun of them for being vapid and dumb. And that is very misogynistic, I feel like. And now we're making fun of them for being billionaires. And we're like, we just have to eat them, which I think we've progressed. I don't know if that's progress, but I feel like it's something. We're getting somewhere.
I think it is progress. I think it is progress because now we're not mad. We're not like, oh, Kim Kardashian made a sex tape. We're like, oh, Kim Kardashian like flew a private jet to an island for her birthday and like
gave everybody COVID.
People with COVID, you know? I have like this kind of litmus test for men, which is that if a man hates the Kardashians but can't tell you why, he's probably a misogynist, because that's there's a good. Lot of valid reasons to hate them. But if you can't, even figure out one, it's because you hate women. It's one of those like antiquated, like, you know, I just don't like seeing like powerful women succeed.
You're so right. Yeah. Or like, oh, they wear too much makeup. Yeah. They're fake. Like, that's not.
Yeah. They had plastic surgery.
We don't care about that anymore. Now we are plastic surgery positive as a society now. We're like, you go get it. So I think the discourse is changing and I like it. They're still billionaires.
Yeah. They're still like not a positive influence to society at large, but it's like, you know, call them out for the things that like actually matter. Yeah. The Kardashians, I just feel I have complex feelings. Yeah. Not all of them. I think the only one I really actually like feel as good is Kim.
I think Kim is baseline good in her heart. I don't know what Kylie's up to. Kylie is the one that I feel.
Kylie and Kendall really scare me.
I think they're scary. I don't know why.
For very different reasons. I think Kendall like doesn't really. I think that she is probably so impressionable that anyone could convince her to do like the Pepsi ad that she did makes me think like she doesn't really have kind of like her own sense of like what's right and wrong. She just kind of listens to other people. And so I think like anyone could take her for a ride and she could, with her power, like spread something bad. Mm-hmm. Kylie, I think, is an evil genius. And I think that she has so much power and money and influence to do whatever she wants. And I also think like somehow more than even the Kardashians, like everybody knows all of her business.
She's like, she also has this thing where she talks so quietly and like doesn't emote at all that I'm like, it's hard for me to think of her as anything more than a blank slate, but you don't make that much money without like knowing something. Like, I don't know if it's other people like putting this on her or being like, you should make this makeup and blah, 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 blah. But if they were doing that, why weren't they just doing it for themselves? Or maybe they are. Maybe they have like a huge cut in it. I don't know.
I think that like, she's actually really, really smart and business savvy. I think she's just like not that interesting of a person.
Let's play a game of Would You Rather.
Today, as we're recording this, is International Women's Day, and Burger King tweeted, a woman's place is in the kitchen this morning. They backtracked, saying that they meant like more women should get the opportunity to be high-end chefs. But obviously, when you read a woman's place is in the kitchen, that's not what your mind goes to. I want to know if you would rather be like the social media person who made that tweet and got fired or yelled at or whatever, or be like the one girl boss chef in a kitchen of like men who like don't get it.
I am always for being a girl boss chef. That's so fun. But here is my take about this Burger King thing. I think it was very calculated. Of this is me getting all conspiracy tinfoil. I think that they knew that people were going to hate click on it. And that was part of the plan. Like, that was all part of their engagement. I think they knew it was so egregious that they were like, yeah, and we're getting the conversation going. I think that whoever did that is going to get a raise.
I think they saw Oreo say trans people exist. And they were like, what can we say now?
That was an incredible day on Twitter.
Yeah.
Of just people changing their name to cookies and
Chips Ahoy, Nabisco, all that. Oh my gosh, did you see Patty Harrison's?
Is she back yet?
I don't think she's back. I don't know if she's gonna be back. Like,
she really went down for like a really noble cause.
Yeah, she was like, see us taking it over today. And like was like, we hate bisexuals.
There were so many layers to it. It was like it was like her magnum opus. It was like truly a beautiful thing to watch.
She was like Jesus. Like, she died on the cross for our sins.
I really felt like that. I was like, she's gonna go down in flames and they're gonna take this away from her, but in the moment it's gonna be so beautiful.
Yeah, when Abby was doing her whole Emily and yes bit, I remember she was telling me that like she had to like go over copyright law to make sure that like she, and like parody law, so that to make sure like she wasn't sued by Netflix.
Oh my god.
Which is, oh, that was just also crazy that like journalists just didn't Google.
That was an incredible bit. Honestly, I think it's good publicity for Netflix because people are like, Emily in Paris's entire audience is people who hate watched it. And I couldn't get enough of it. It was like shocking to watch happen.
Yeah, I didn't watch Emily in Paris, but I feel like I know exactly what happened. I feel like I can gather, like I've seen the clips of it. I just heard the discourse. So I feel like I know exactly how it went down.
You definitely like, you know, everything except for when she fucks a 17-year-old. Like that is an episode that I feel like needs to be seen to believe.
Emily in Paris. Emily also like had the job that the Burger King person like would have.
She really had. And she pulled stunts that were like it. Like her whole thing was like the male, like the, in French, like the tampon is male or vagina is male or something. And she did, her whole crusade was like, vaginas are female, which is just such a like 2010, like weird, like we know not to do that now. And she was like, that was the show's like thesis statement. That was like their thing that they stand by.
Emily in Paris. Emily is a TERF.
Emily is a TERF. And she doesn't know it because she lives in 2012, but she is a TERF.
Bad news, bad news. I think I would rather be the girl boss chef because that is all of every improv I've ever done has been being the one girl boss chef with a bunch of men who don't get it. You know, that's like kind of...
Yeah. When I worked in restaurants, like it was always tougher for the like the female girl boss, for the girl boss chefs, because they would like... call for runners or whatever and people would just listen to them less. Like if the male chef was on the line, like they were really scary and so you would like come when you were called. But subconsciously, like if I was busy, or I feel like I didn't do it as much, but like if people were busy and they heard her, like there's this little thing in our stupid brains that's like, well, she doesn't mean it yet. It's like, it was really sad. The plight of a girl boss chef is, it's sad.
So I'm sure you've heard about Sia's awful movie, Music, and everyone's talking about it. And I just think Sia is going to, Sia's takedown is so imminent and I'm so ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks because I think she made a lot of great music, but.
Chandelier, incredible.
Yeah, she's definitely not okay. And I want to know if you would rather have to be locked into a deal where you have to work on everything with Sia for the next 10 years. Like she, the executive producer of like everything you ever do for the next 10 years. Or you're like only able to be on shows like Emily in Paris or Ginny in Georgia, like famously dunked on hate watched shows.
Okay. I feel like Ginny in Georgia and Emily in Paris are not fully canceled in the way that Sia is canceled or eminently about to be canceled. So I feel like I would be comfortable becoming Lily Collins. Being my little Emily and little Paris and being just the dumbest white girl in that show that everyone makes fun of. Like I can handle that more than I can handle just completely being horrible to the autistic community.
Because she like forced Maddie Ziegler into that movie and she didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some bad stuff is going to come out with that. Like looking at interviews where she's like, we used to like hang out and we used to have sleepovers.
Yeah,
like that's never a good word. Sleepover is never a good word when you're an adult.
She just turned 18, I think. Like I don't even know if she's 18. Like she just turned 18 or she's 17.
No, but I hope she gets out of whatever contract, whatever hold that Sia has on her.
Yeah. Oof. I think I would also be a part of those shows because I think I could be like a character actor on those shows, like play just some crazy part and like have fun with it, you know? Like I don't think I would want to be like the Lily Collins type because that sounds like those shows, like that's never the fun.
No, it's never fun. And like, I just know that that's what I would become. Like I don't like it. I don't want to do it, mm-hmm. but that's, I know that yeah. that's the option for me.
See, like I get the privilege of, you know, not being forced into that because I am a woman of color. And so, you know, it would not always be thrust upon
Yeah.
me.
You can be the quirky tokenized part that gets to sing like her whole, I think this girl's name was Mindy,
the Asian friend.
Yeah. The Asian friend. And her whole storyline got to be that she can sing in the park and everyone stops to listen to her. Which is very funny, and nobody's mad at Mindy for that.
Yeah, I think that I could comfortably just be side characters on these hateable shows for a long time. I would have fun.
And you could do that guiltlessly.
Yeah.
Like there is nothing on you. Like people would be like, oh, she deserves better.
Truth or dare? Truth or dare?
Kylie, truth or dare?
Let's do truth.
I want to know if anyone that you've ever like impersonated or like done a video about has ever like contacted you or interacted with the video.
No, I don't. Actually, yes. Okay. The original like blue check liberal video where I'm just like, this, how come nobody's talking about this? Uh-huh. At the very end, I like tag it with like Pod Save America, blah, 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 blah. And the Pod Save America guy retweeted it and was like, I was laughing at this. And then I got hoisted up by my own petard, which I don't know what that means fully, but it's a very like blue check Harvard way of like making fun of it, which I think yeah. is so funny. But it was all in good fun. No, I think mostly everybody's been pretty cool. I just know that like if I ever make fun of like a Republican or like I mentioned like Mitt Romney or Tommy Lahren or whatever, the girl who was at the Capitol riots or like the girl who was in the Rudy Giuliani trial, I will never show up on Republican Twitter. Like I am not in their algorithm whatsoever. So I never get comments from them ever. Like it'll only be hate from like the centrists, like the sort of right-leaning centrists will get really mad at me.
Yeah.
But like Republicans will never find me. But like if Ben Shapiro saw all the videos about him, like I think he would be the most likely to actually say something about it, but he'll never see them.
He would make like a revenge film.
He would.
About it.
He would.
In his new little studio with Barry Weiss and Gina Carano.
He's got his own little production company, I think, right?
Yeah.
We love it. We love it when people pivot. I hope I'm not making this up. I'm pretty sure this is true. Kellyanne Conway used to do stand-up.
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah. It's like all these conservative people who just become like pundit personalities, like used to be just like open mic comedians, and then they're like, well, this isn't working. I'm gonna go to Fox News.
I wonder if anyone we know is gonna end up on that pipeline.
Yeah. Truth or dare?
Dare.
I dare you to, and I will Venmo you for this. Purchase a Live Laugh Love wall decal to your home, and you have to have it.
Okay. This is so funny.
And you just have to have it and you can't throw it away.
Look, I just checked my phone. Okay, you don't need to Venmo me because a man from Twitter just Venmoed me $100 for no reason. So it's your lucky day. I'm going to use what he just paid me to buy a Live Laugh
Love. Oh my God. Wow. And again, if you have second thoughts, if you're like, oh my gosh, I found this espresso machine that costs exactly $100 and I would rather buy that, Venmo me, request me for $13.50 or whatever it costs.
I was like, this one looks cute, but it's $500. It's neon sign.
No way.
Oh my God. There's a Kim Jong-un Live Laugh Love flag.
Oh my God. That's crazy. The Live Laugh Love industry has gotten too self-aware.
Yeah.
It used to be just like this very Christian thing. And now I feel like they're like, oh, we're a joke now.
Okay, I like this one. I think it's kind of like silly. Is that okay if I go silly?
It's, okay, that's okay if it's silly.
It has like little Skeletors on it.
I like it. It's like, yeah, it's like pretty enough that it fits the dare.
Should I do white, pink, purple, or gray?
Ooh, I think in Live, Laugh, Love spirit, I would prefer the pink.
Okay.
Oh, it says hurry, going fast. More than 20 people have this in their carts. Get it before it's gone.
Going fast. It's definitely not going fast.
Typing in my shipping address. When it comes, I will do a full unboxing video like the YouTubers. And maybe I'll help out an Etsy seller here. Like I'm supporting small businesses.
We love it.
Not supporting Jeff Bezos right now.
Yeah, buy independent, unbox it, vlog about you putting it up in your room.
Okay. Truth or dare?
Dare.
Okay. Whatever the last text you sent was, I want you to do a freestyle rap with that as the starting line to the rap.
You're going to make me rap. Oh, no. You're trying to get me canceled.
It can be like spoken word if it needs to be, you know.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see which direction it happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is the last text I sent?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna rap. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rap spoken word all the texts that I have sent to this specific group chat.
Oh, okay.
Because I think don't know where I'm gonna go. Okay. Is she okay? Holy shit. How much should I Venmo? It means we could fucking hang out. Legit just got this notification. Yeah, totally. Liked the message. Reminder that it's clean slate day for chores. Gonna do floors again tonight. I'm fine with that. I'll be home all day. LOL, he doesn't know what he wants. Biggie out. FYI, if you pull out, did anyone just lose Wi-Fi? Shiv, you can go for the rest. There's still a bit. I'll be back from 7-Eleven in 2 minutes. Then I'll give you the leftover dibs. Me, ! Loved a message. Gonna go to work, but left foot outside. I'm not worried. We can let him roam. But if it's getting later and someone sees him before sunset, if you could snag him, that'd be great. I booked more anti-smoking ads, so I'm gonna be doing the same deal again. Shooting in the dining room all day, Wednesday and Thursday, so night need general quiet downstairs for chunks of time throughout the day. But Shiv, I could work around your work meeting, so you never know.
That was actually really beautiful.
Sometimes it rhymed, which was...
You hit a groove like about halfway through where it was... Like there was storytelling there happening, and I feel like things were rhyming, and there was like such a performance.
There was a story, and you get the inner workings of my house roommate group chat.
Yeah. I also, it was so like roommate group chat, like it was relatable. Like everyone's been there.
It's very just logistical texts. More interesting things have been sent, but I wasn't sending any of the memes. So I just had all of the boring, like, the cat is outside. Please watch out for him.
I love the loved an attachment. That was a personal favorite.
I love those attachments. Are you somebody who uses text reacts, or are you no?
I use them sometimes. I really think they really messed up my comfort with texting, because I don't really use them a lot, but I get really anxious when people use them with me, or like don't use them with me. I really read into the reactions so much.
Yeah, I feel like I try and adjust to people. Like if they don't use them, uh-huh. I'll like stop using them and reply LOL instead. But there are some people who use them a lot, and so I feel like I have the freedom to just haha something and then not respond. But I know that is stressful sometimes.
I hate being like reacted to and no response. Like that drives me nuts. It's like that. just don't respond at all, as opposed to reacting with no response. Like, I think it's worse than being left on read.
Truth or dare?
I'll do truth this time.
Truth. Okay. Have you like earnestly ever like shot your shot with someone on Twitter? You don't have to name them, but like that you didn't know in real life first.
I actually did that with my current boyfriend. Like
that's how you guys met?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was the one I've ever done, and it worked. So we followed each other, and then we were like replying to each other's stuff for a bit. One day I sent him his own tweet with like my own little thoughts on it that I was like more than I could reply. And then I didn't say like, hey, I think you're cute. Like want to hang XOX.
No, sending someone more info about their own tweet is like, that is an act of, that is as close to shooting my shot that I would ever come.
Also, I think it's more organic. Like, you're not in real life. If somebody came up to me and they were like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. Like, I love your tweets. Like, also, you're really pretty. Like, when I'd be like, okay, like, that's weird. It's like,
I would be like, what's going on here? I'm stressed out.
Yeah. But if you're like, have some thoughts on like something I said and you want to have a conversation about it, it's like, we can have a conversation about it. It sounds cool. And like,
and then this becomes, I will take it as you thinking that I am very beautiful. Like, if you're like, this is some more thoughts that I have about hot dogs, adding onto your hot dog tweet, I will take that as you are attracted to me.
Yeah. It's like,
and that's fine. And it works just as well.
Yeah. Cause it's like, if you weren't attracted to me, you would have just replied
replied publicly with your little hot dog bit. You would not have hopped into the DMs to say it. My friend recently, I don't remember how she came across this person, but it was this man who maybe responded to her, but he has this specific fetish that, and it's the only thing he's tweeted about like in 4 years. Like, it's just over and over and over again, responding to women with the same thing. But it was like, what would you do with me if you came home from an errand and you found out I was 6 inches tall? Like, what would you do with me? And it's just responding to every single woman. And my friends found a specific interaction where somebody actually responded back and they were like, I don't know what I would blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, would you put me in a cage or would you put me in a terrarium? And it's like, there is a kink for everything.
How do you come across that and decide that you like that?
Yeah, it's so specific. Like, I don't even know if there is porn for that. Like, you might just have to like see like a small animal or something and be like, that's really short and I'm carrying a bag of groceries. This is a very specific situation. What if I were that thing?
Maybe like you had a dream about it or something.
Yeah, I feel like it comes to you in the night. Like, there's no, this is not a daytime kink.
No, I can't imagine like living with that in your mind all the time.
Yeah, it's like, it's,
you know, because it seems to be like, it's not just his like in bed fetish, it's his public Twitter account fetish.
Yeah, it is a thought that consumes you enough that you had to go on the internet and make an account for this and like pursue it, because there's no other outlet for that. Where do you find that?
This guy who just paid me $100, I don't know who he is.
Was he like, thank you for making me laugh, here's $100, or was it just like a here's $100?
It just says Twitter. Like, I'll show you.
Oh, there's the flame emojis. Okay, so this is more of like a sexual undertone, I feel like.
But it's like $100, you know? That's
a lot of money.
I bought a Live Laugh. I could buy like 8 Live Laugh Love signs with that money.
You could. Minimum wage should be 1 Live Laugh Love sign per hour. It should be enough money to buy that much.
We should bring that up to the Senate. Kristen Sinema would approve it.
She would. She'd curtsy, but time it would be a yes.
She'd be like, live, laugh, love it.
Live, laugh, love it. Love that resolution. I vote yay.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
I want to know the last few things you searched on Twitter, like your searches.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
My searches. Okay.
Like people and keywords.
Okay. The first person I searched was, I just got headshots and I was trying to tag this woman and I didn't know if she was on Twitter, but it looks like she's not. So that was her name. I guess I'll plug her, Nakia Alfonso. She's on Instagram. She's trying to get more into the headshot game. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for headshots, she was great. Okay. And then I searched, you know, that thing where you can search an account and then a phrase, like if they've ever tweeted that.
Yeah.
So I searched my own name and then wrote this sketch because I needed to know if I had already tweeted about a sketch before that I had written. And I did. But I had only had 2,000 followers at the time, so I tweeted it again.
I reuse a lot of tweets from the old times, too.
I should be doing that. I should just look back to, like, 2012 and be like, what jokes did I make then when no one was listening? Oh, yes. I searched, okay, this is just getting boring. I searched Milkshake Duck, which, because I was trying to find the original Milkshake Duck tweet. And then I searched Mars Rover, and I don't know why. I think I've just gotten very, I was just looking for more footage of Mars. I was like, this is interesting. But the idea of like using it like Google search, which I have started to do recently, is yeah, really weird. Like last night, it's not popping up, but I searched like West Coast Paramount Plus Oprah interview because I was trying to see if it was possible for me to watch it. And it gave me a faster answer than Google.
Yeah, it often does because it's like, you know, there's more like types of sources.
Yeah, and it's like people talking about their problems with this specific thing.
In real time. Yeah, in real time.
And then I searched John Stewart and I don't remember why. It must have been John Stewart Packet Day. What a day that was.
That's a good little search history.
It's, we've got some comedy, we've got some space, we've got some ego in there, we've got some logistical problems I'm working out. It's pretty much just like a little slice of life of everything I use the website for.
You have like a range of interests, so.
You know, you can't put me in a box.
You can't. You can't shrink you down to 6 inches and put you in a terrarium.
As much as it would get me horny to do, you cannot put me in a terrarium. Okay, truth or dare?
I'll do a dare too.
Dare. Okay. I would like for you to sing a song based on, okay, do you use the calendar app?
I use Google Calendar.
Do you have things on your Google Calendar?
Yeah.
Like enough to sing a song about them?
I think so.
Okay. Then that's the dare.
Last week I was on 2 podcasts. I was on one on Monday. It talked about sex. And on Wednesday I was in another one, but it was very different. It was improv. I played a character and it was fun. And the next day I had a psychiatry appointment. It was good. My meds didn't change. The next day I had therapy and we talked about a lot of cool stuff. On Sunday I skipped a writing group, even though I was invited to it. And today I'm recording this podcast with you. And tomorrow I'll be having an important phone call. And it'll be great, I hope. If not, I'll talk about it on Friday in therapy again. And that is the story of last week and this week. And next week, I don't have much on the calendar because the night is young and we'll have some fun, me and the calendar.
Yeah. I love that. I wasn't expecting a story. I feel like we are surprising each other with our narratives. And they're very clear, like, picture of what is going on in your life as well. You're doing podcasts, you're keeping busy, you're in therapy, which is healthy.
I did an improv podcast and then went to therapy. It's like, it's crazy town.
The improv podcast to therapy pipeline is really real.
It was like, you know, I got to escape being myself for an hour. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was like so fun to talk to you and like play these games. And it was like so fun to like meet you.
It was so fun to meet you. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a blast.
Yeah.
I have nothing specific to plug at the moment. So just follow me on social media at DeadEyeBreakman. And I will update if I have plugs later.
Yeah, and maybe we'll catch your anti-smoking campaign.
Oh yeah, that'll drop soon. It'll be a fresh new batch. It's pretty exciting stuff.
You're gonna save the lungs of kids.
No one's gonna be smoking after this. Not a single person.
Mm-hmm. Your impact.
Thanks so much for joining our pillow fight. See you next time. Pillow Fight is a production by me, Yamini Nambimadam, with music by Greer Baxter.
Follow Big Comedy on social media at I Love Big Comedy.